This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Warning. The following podcast, which contains strong language and mature content, is unsuitable for children or for the faint of heart. The subject matter discussed will be frightening and graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Three spooked girls.
When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the spooked girls, true crime that makes you hypothermal, with the three spooked girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you ask, along with the spooked girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground.
Spooked girls.
The three spooked girls.
Hey there, Spooksters. Welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Jessica. And like always, I'm joined by my favorite gal pal, Tara.
Hey, Spooksters.
Today, we're doing another installment of our new segment, Vital Conversations by Your Everyday Life. And we are joined today by Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, friends.
Would you mind giving us like a brief introduction of yourself and your background and like all the cool content you do?
Yeah, totally. So I am on the TikTok and the YouTube. I'm a criminologist and I got my start in true crime. So I used to do lots of that, but I've recently moved into more spooky territory.
Kind of like the opposite of how our trajectory. We started with the spooky and then went into true crime.
Yes.
What led you to where you are now as far as like liking true crime and liking paranormal and all that stuff?
So I think like many of us in this space, I've just always kind of been like weird, like that kid. But as I got older, I grew up watching like CSI and all that stuff. And I started noticing a lot of stuff going on in the YouTube community where I'd be like, that didn't happen. That's not how that happened. That's not what she said.
Yeah.
And I'm OCD and have a thing for details. So in my mind, the correct solution was, well, I better make my own content.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it one day.
Listen, that's the thing. It's like people want to criticize or, you know, find problems within different issues and communities, but then do nothing about it. But you did. Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like, that's great. Yeah. I love that.
Hey, thanks.
I love that. Okay. We have to just like, now that you guys know a little about her, we have to just get in what you texted me about, because I did not, I don't think Jessica, do you know what the blue whale challenge is or the blue whale game is?
No, I was noticing that as one of the questions and I was like, oh, I don't know what this is. And I'm a little
You're like, I don't know what this is.
There's an internet challenge.
Did you look it up, Tara, or is this going to be all fresh for you?
I did a very, very, very surface level search and looked at the wiki page for 2 seconds because I just saw after background, what happened in November 2015. I was like, after that, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need you to tell me. Oh my God. It's going to bring up great topics for sure. So I'm excited about it. So tell us. Yes.
Okay. So I'm excited that neither of you has delved into it. Okay. So allegedly, this game, the Blue Whale Challenge or game, it goes by kind of both names, it starts with this random game administrator who contacts a teenage participant. The participant is asked if they would like to play. Sometimes they are coerced into playing. Because they're teenagers, a lot of times it's like a, you're going to play or I'm going to expose your deepest, darkest secrets and things like that.
Oh, no.
If they agree to play, it's every single day for 50 days, they're given a task to complete. I actually found this is mostly centered in Russia. So a lot of the research on it is Russian, but I found an alleged translated set of the tasks. So they start out relatively innocent. So for example, like day two is to wake up at 4:20 a.m. and watch a scary video. Day four is to draw a whale on a sheet of paper, but the tasks escalate really quickly. So day 11, you're supposed to carve a whale into your arm. And every day from day 30 to day 49, you're supposed to wake up at 4:20, watch scary videos, and listen to like scary music that the administrator sends you. You're supposed to self-harm, and then you talk to a whale, which is another person completing the challenge. You're supposed to like Skype with them. And then day 50's task. So the final task is to complete suicide. Yes. The background into it. So the thing that you were talking about, the 2015 incident, It's like the first incident that's really tied to that challenge. That happened in November of 2015. A Russian teenager named Irina uploaded a selfie to the Russian social networking site VK, which is really important to the rest of this too. It's kind of where all of this happens, on VK. The picture was just a selfie. She was standing outside with a black scarf covering her mouth and her nose. She was flipping the camera off. The photo was captioned with "bye." And shortly after she posted it, she died by suicide by throwing herself in front of a train.
Wow.
Yeah. So after her death, the internet sleuths went wild, as they do. And these forums and groups popped up all over VK discussing her death and coming up with these conspiracy theories. It was sort of like the Russian Elisa Lam. Like, everyone wanted to know exactly what happened and no one could agree.
Yeah.
So it came out that a lot of teens who had committed suicide in Russia prior to Rena, they were in these similar like forums and groups on VK, including this one particular one that was called F57. The man behind the F57 group was the man who's often credited with creating the game. His name is Philip. His last name is Russian. I think it's Budikin, but
we'll go with that. Sure. Right? Sounds right.
We are like so always apologizing for pronouncing names wrong. So
you guys have done like 500 episodes. You're gonna mispronounce something. It's fine. So F57 sounds like kind of spooky and mysterious, but the F is just the first sound of Philip, and then the 57 is the last two digits of his phone number.
Oh, gotcha.
Makes it less cool. He's
It does, because I was over here thinking it was like some sort of like Russian.
It's no, like, not creative at all.
Irate or some shit. Like, oh no. God.
He is like a weird guy with some weird beliefs. He was a young former psychology student. So he was majoring in psychology, but got kicked out of school.
I wonder why. He
said about this whole incident, quote, "There are people and then there is biodegradable waste. I was cleansing our society of such people. Sometimes I start to think it's wrong, but in the end, I had the feeling I was doing the right thing." End quote.
These are kids. Bruh.
Children. Yeah. Philip's a great dude. In 2016, Philip was arrested and pled guilty to enticing 16 teenage girls to commit suicide, and he was convicted on two of those counts.
Wow. Good. Yeah, that's fucking horrible.
I mean, I wish it was more. I wish more people had been, or, yeah, like, kinda, more counts.
The thing about the whole like blue whale challenge, which we'll talk about a little bit later, they have a hard time proving anything's linked to it.
Got it.
Sure.
So, yeah. And then no one really knows why it's called blue whale, just in case you guys are wondering. Some people say it has something to do with whales like beaching themselves on the shore because that kills them. Some say it's from a song from a Russian band called Lumen, which talks about a huge blue whale who's stuck in a net. But it's not really known. So people think it started with Philip in these F57 groups, and it really took off in 2016 because a Russian journalist talked about the group and claimed that the group had convinced over 130 kids to commit suicide.
That's so many.
Which it is a big number, but the way that they came to that number was a father whose teenager had committed suicide kind of like scoured the Russian media until he found teenage suicides he thought might be related. So it didn't come from like law enforcement. He just said, these must be connected. But he was also saying like the government was involved and he had lots of theories about it. So that number may not really be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but authorities in multiple countries investigated claims about the game. Some of the stuff is like pretty interesting that they found, though. So a lot of people thought for a long time that the administrators were adults, but it turns out most of the administrators were between 12 and 14 years old.
Holy shit, that's so young.
But they're also really impressionable. And
no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and given a sense of authority in this situation, like little right. budding psychos would jump at that.
Yeah, it's definitely like prime, like edgelord age. Mm-hmm. So that was sad. But again, people kind of say like maybe it's not real. A doctor for BBC News India said, quote, "People join narratives to explain their experiences. That is possibly why some children have said they participated in the rumored challenge, despite there being no proof of its existence." So the general consensus is that the game was a hoax. There was a ton of suicides allegedly connected to the game in lots of countries. But a lot of these investigations end with the countries releasing statements that they couldn't find any evidence tying the suicides to the games or any evidence that the game exists at all. But there were reports of children participating in it all the way till 2017. And there was some real life consequences. So we discussed like Philip's 2016 arrest. Mm-hmm. In 2017, a man was arrested in Moscow for setting up a blue whale group and persuading over 30 children to play. As far as I can find, he wasn't charged and none of the children completed suicide. But again, it's all in Russian, so I'm not 100% sure, but I couldn't find anything saying that like he actually convinced anyone to commit suicide. Again, in 2018, a Russian financial analyst was arrested for running a blue whale game. He convinced 10 teenage girls to play. Couldn't find much. It doesn't appear that any of them completed suicide. But I did find one news report that specifically said two of them survived, which to me kind of implies maybe the other eight didn't.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
The game's popularity, even if it was like a hoax, it did create some like interesting policy change in a lot of countries. So like in Bangladesh, they put a ban on special nighttime internet packages because that's when kids were supposed to be waking up and playing the game. Mm-hmm. So they just said, fine, well, now you guys can't have internet at night. In China, 12 related groups were closed on their social medias and related keywords were blocked. In Egypt, the Egypt story is really like the fuel to a lot of people's fire for this. Because a boy completed suicide and was allegedly found with a whale carved into his arm, which there's not really any other reason for. So people were kind of like, huh. But Egypt released a statement saying that the game is forbidden. In Russia, a bill was passed assigning criminal responsibility for those who create pro-suicide groups and for those who induce minors to suicide. So in Saudi Arabia, several video games with online chats like Roblox were banned for their possible connection to the game. Basically anything where kids could talk to each other online. Mm-hmm. You know. And then Tunisia, the government also came out and made it specifically known that the game was banned. So it kind of died out, but there was a brief resurgence in 2020 with the popularity of a guy named Jonathan Galindo. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's also called The Goofy Man. If you haven't Googled it, you should Google it.
Oh, just the name. I'm like, I don't want to.
I want to see y'all's reaction. Right,
let's see.
I'm so scared.
I'm sorry. It's ew. So weird. Yeah.
Ew, I don't like it.
Because he looks like Goofy.
Yeah.
I have seen this shit. So oh my God.
Apparently the actual pictures are like an actor who took them for himself. But of course they got stolen for this meme.
Oh, how sad for that guy who probably was like.
Just minding his own fucking business.
He's just Goofy cosplaying. Right. You know, it's pandemic. He's probably like depressed and needs a nice outlet and.
He had to come on Twitter and make like an official statement. This
oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
But essentially, a ton of people changed their social media names and profile pictures to Jonathan Galindo and the Goofy Man, or created burner accounts with that name and picture. They were encouraging kids to harm themselves and participate specifically in the Blue Whale Challenge.
Oh.
The Jonathan Galindo thing died out pretty quickly, and it's because another challenge came up in 2020, which was the Momo Challenge.
Oh, God. I remember that. Yeah.
I remember that one, too, because it was out in the media that they were specifically splicing it into children's YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. I remember this. This is the image I can't look at. That's right.
Yes. which ended up actually, I found out in doing research for this, it's a Japanese statue and it's supposed to be like a bird woman.
Oh.
It's still real spooky looking, but the person who made it also like is an artist and had to destroy the statue.
I mean, it was a creepy ass statue.
It was very scary. Yeah.
I didn't like it at all. Like it didn't give me any kind of wonderful feels. I was very upset, but like,
Yeah, it kind of sucks because they meant it as like a heritage thing.
Yeah.
I guess there's like a Japanese urban legend that coincides with it. But had to destroy it, which is sad. But the Momo thing was also proven to be a hoax. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of interested to hear like what you guys maybe think about whether the blue whale thing was real or not real.
I can definitely see it as being something real because like one of the biggest things I think especially has been talked about more as TikTok became a thing is the internet safety for kids and how it's a really fucking scary place. So I think it's completely believable. I don't know if I completely believe about administrators being like 12 to 14. There was obviously some adults or whoever was doing this type of thing in that as well. But I think if all of this didn't happen to the degree it did, like that's a great thing. But the scary reality is it could have very easily.
Yeah. In my like opinion, I think that the official one, the official blue whale challenge was a hoax. But I think that like the copycats and the trolls and stuff just made it real. And there were teenagers who did, you know, complete suicide because of this and harm themselves because of this. Unfortunately, there's just not really like a definitive way to prove that.
No.
I did check Snopes and they said that the list of individuals who committed suicide due to the game are unproven. And this is mostly just because like no one has the game. No one's mentioned how to access it, how they got involved with it. There are some AMAs on Reddit of people who say that they've played or that they are playing or that they played a couple years ago or whatever. And most of them are from a couple years ago. But the one thing I noticed that they all kind of seem to have in common is that they all say they were allegedly just like approached anonymously on a social networking site, just got a DM from a burner account telling them to play the game or their stuff would be exposed. Their address would be leaked. Their nude images from their phones would be hacked and spread around and things like that. I think it's kind of an interesting point too, that the blue whale, it's almost like a creepypasta.
Yeah.
Where you can have something that's not real. It's on the internet and it's not real. And people make it real. It's just like the Slender Man thing.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That was fake. The guy, the artist, the photographer who made those first images that came up for Slender Man, Kay has come out and said, that's not real. I made it for a challenge. It was some kind of competition.
Yeah. It was like a photo competition for like creepiest picture or some shit. And that's what he made. Yeah.
And they ran with it. And then there was the stabbing.
Yes.
Also in the same age range, interestingly. So.
Yes. Yeah. We have talked about that, that before. Yeah. They were really young when that happened too. It's just wild. It's wild. It's completely wild.
This kind of reminds me, I'm a huge Criminal Minds fan. And there's like an episode where like it's a little different, but it's about like challenges that end in suicide or could potentially end in suicide. There's like a it came out in 2010, so years before this took place. And because I looked it up when we were talking about it, and it's basically like the small town in like a rural area where people are like on Friday nights, they play the game and it's like all on the internet and they're supposed to like try to choke themselves out. The longer you go, like choking yourself, the more time your school gets, which means the more time, like the more points you get. And of course, it resulted in kids dying because, you know, they were hanging themselves in their closets without like a safety. And so I think the idea of like kids committing suicide based on a challenge or a game isn't new. And I think it's just some, like, if this is true, someone was just like recreating the wheel in a different way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's such a vulnerable group too. And then it creates that weird, like, moral hysteria in the parents. Because even like we mentioned the Momo thing, I was worried about what my kid was watching and kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going on here. And it was never anything serious, but it made us all panic.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, my kid, definitely a YouTube kid. So right there with you. Especially because it's like they were, you know, everyone was home. Like they didn't have fucking anything else to do. Can't even think right now, but whatever grade my child was in at that time, like I swear this is not me talking like bad about her old school district or anything, like these poor educators all across the board. It was just like they had to scramble to get Zoom. I think my daughter's was in, she was in like first grade.
Second, I think.
First or second grade. Yeah. All I remember, I can't even remember like at this point, but like basically it was like, I remember they went on spring break and we're like, cool, this will be over by the time spring break's over. No, fucking never went back for like long. But I'm just like, damn, these teachers like had to scramble to like figure out how to do Zoom classes with fucking 6, 7, you know, like little kids too, like older kids and like all kinds of different kids, obviously. So they would just, you know, they would show up, they would do like as the teacher would do as much as she could. And then it was like, you know, they just have the rest of the day to kind of do whatever. So it's like kids, even kids who may not have been watching YouTube, if we were like pre, you know, like quote normal life during this time, like it makes me so mad because it's like they knew these kids were already going through a lot. You know, they're home. There's nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's just evil. It's just evil. And I did not. It's just horrible.
And with so many parents like having to switch to work from home, like streaming services and YouTube became a godsend because they could like sit their kid down and be like, watch these YouTubes while I get my work done. Cause I, you know, life still went on for a lot of people who were, you know, working at like corporate style jobs. So they still had to produce their work and educate their children. Yeah. So it was a lot. And I just think that anytime there's a vulnerable like community out there, people are going to take advantage of them. And the internet has made it easy. The internet is great, but it also has like really bad things out there on it as well. So
yeah, it definitely sucks. It feels like there's not a lot of safe places for kids online. And there's a lot of stuff like I wish my kid could do. Like we don't do any online chats. We don't do no Roblox chats, no nothing like that, because people are just so weird. And that's so hard to explain to a child.
It's hard to explain to teenagers. Because I have my nieces and nephew are like 18 and 16 and trying to tell them like, okay, I know this because I've lived in the world longer than you. And they're like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, you have no idea. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember being a kid and saying that. And now I'm the person who's like, listen, I am trying to get you not to be abducted because right now everything you're doing screams, abduct me.
Unfortunately, I think we're all a pretty similar age, but I think we lived in the like online chat rooms, like
oh for sure
the worst. We were the worst generation with the internet.
I remember literally probably because I'm a little older than Tara, so when I kind of got onto the internet, the chat was, I think it was like IQC or ICQ or something like that, and like my parents were like, who are, like they sat me down, they're like, who are these people? And they have to like tell them like who the names of the people were.
I don't fucking know. You're
no, like, but they were like my friend.
Charlie.
Right? No, they were like my actual friend. You can't talk to people that you don't know.
Okay, so this was like similar to like
Yahoo.
Or like AOL,
Yes,
MSN. AOL. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I can't think of any of these fucking names right
now. And then I got Yahoo, and then I learned about like Yahoo. And I like, here's the thing. This is how dumb my parents were internet wise. Like, I love my parents because I grew up in a, like a religious household. So I told my parents that there were Christian teen chat rooms.
And they were,
They were called.
You're Christian. Like, I was not there though.
No, I was. They were the worst. Wow. Like, you could go into like regular teen chat rooms and they would be fine. You go into Christian teen chat rooms and that shit is like, it needs to be bleached. It was.
I was big in like my scene days when I first hit the internet, and there was a website called Vampire Freaks, and I was too fucking little.
I feel like
to be there.
I know what this is.
I kind of wanted to see if it's still there.
I think it might be. It was much too much of an adult website for me to be on, but I was like, they have purple hair too. Weird.
Right. Yeah.
VampireFreaks.com.
Hell yeah. Oh,
God, it's still going. I love it.
It kind of just seems like a store now.
Huh. Yeah, it used to be
They evolved.
Wild.
It's cool.
Oh my God.
They're grown too. I look at this magnet.
Look how cute that is.
That is super cute. Super cute. I love this.
I got like catfished by this person named Alex who told me that they had cancer. It was everyone had an online friend who was like dying. Maybe not. Maybe that was not a universal experience.
No, I didn't have that experience.
Okay, I wish. Okay, I don't know if I can look at this umbrella.
It's so cute. Oh,
that's super cute. I love that.
Hey, I was like, vampire freak is still useful.
Yeah. I love this.
This is it's so cute.
It's so cute. It's very reminds me of the scene. Is it Sweeney Todd when they're on the beach?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's $37.
That's not that bad.
That's not, no.
So those from our listeners, I hope they're, here's the thing. Every time I get real excited about something, something bad comes out about it. Like the last few things, I'm like, I really like this. Something bad happens. So let's just really hope that vampirefreaks.com has.
It's going to be like run by QAnon now.
Oh my God. Right?
I mean, we're not going to say anything negative because I don't want my life wrecked.
They have cryptid air fresheners for your car.
I want a little, like a little Mothman air freshener.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
No, they have a Wendigo.
I feel like that's kind of bad luck, but I also kind of want one.
They have a little
just
mermaid.
Doesn't fuck with Wendigo. Oh, no, she gets
I don't blame you.
They have a little mermaid, but it's called the Little Murder Maid.
Oh my gosh. I love this. This has just turned into a free ad for them. We love you guys. No one's hearing that no one from there is hearing this, but if you are, we love you. So
please, if you guys order stuff, please tell them you heard about it on our podcast. Maybe they'll, you know.
Maybe you guys will get like a code.
Oh my God. Yes.
My God, we love a code.
We love saving money.
Oh my God. It is. They have a Mothman air freshener. It's sold out currently.
Of course.
Oh, of course
but
it is.
But look how cute it is.
It is so cute.
Oh my God. Aww. I'm obsessed with everything that has turned like Mothman's became my favorite cryptid on accident. But like anytime there's like a cartoon thing of it or like a plush or like something like cutesy, it's all so fucking cute. And it's just, it's always my favorite out of all the cryptids. For like that cutesy shit, I love Mothman so much. I want to go to the towns. Me and Jess want to go to the towns so bad.
I want to go to the festival.
Oh my God, the festival! Yes, you know what other festival too? There's also the Bell Witch Festival. I think that's in September. So whenever you guys, it would have already happened, I think, by the time you guys hear this. But I always wanted. I'm like every year. I'm like, fuck, I want to do that. And then like all this stuff's coming out. Like I think everybody's like. Feeling more comfortable now to like have events and stuff again, you know, because they're doing an event at Waverly in September as well. That's like an all night thing. So I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like an
that
investigation
would be fun to go
included
to.
All of that.
Technically, that was Tara and I's first, like just the two of us episode.
It was Waverly Hills. Oh, yeah. That's so cool. We definitely go. Do like a little like anniversary thing there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I should have thought about this. Our 5 year is coming up.
I literally it's like right after it I think or it's around the same time, but to be fair they just announced it like I saw it on Facebook today, so like it was a new post announcement whatever, so
I know
to be fair
in Santa Cruz they have the Bigfoot Festival.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, and then that they also don't they do stuff
because there's a museum.
I know we talked about, is it in Santa Cruz or is it somewhere?
It's in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Right. But yeah, they do a whole Bigfoot thing, and then you know they do a thing in Forks for Twilight. I don't know how you
that's
feel
on
about
my bucket list.
Okay, great.
Tara and I have talked about doing a road trip where she would like fly to me and then we would like road trip up because I'm in Sacramento, road trip up to Oregon because the actual like house that they filmed is in Oregon. And then we would go to Forks. And then there's like one other location.
Yeah, there's like two.
House is an Airbnb now.
Yes. Yep. But it's never available. I like.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh my gosh.
I got my kid like super into Twilight. And so I think I'm just gonna take her.
Oh my God, that's so great. I love that. I know I made my kid watch. She's watched, I don't know if we got through the third one yet or not, but she's definitely watched the first two. She was like half into it, half not. I don't know if she was just trying to not be into it because I think we watched one of them when you were here, Jess, but it's just one of those things where she's like not too quite sure on it and stuff. But she's definitely my big scaredy cat. She's a little weenie. But it's great though because like in the last like year, she's like as she's getting older because she turned 11, she is like starting to like stuff more. Like I watched Coraline the other night. I fully anticipated watching it by myself and she fucking came in and watched it with me and I'm like that was like one of her movies that was a hard fucking no. Like she was not about it. Like, she would be like genuinely scared. I'm like, you know what I'm watching, right? And she's like, yep. And she just watch it. And then afterwards, I was like, so how was that movie for you now that you're older? And she's like, well, I just didn't like the button eyes. And I was like, yeah, those are creepy. But like, she's gotten so much braver. And it makes me so happy. She's watched Scream. She's watched the first one. So as long as she is reassured, it's starting to become, it's like, and I feel like this is anybody. If you're reassured it's actually fake, then you're good. That's like, that's where she's at. So she's like, amazing. Okay. So this story is fake. Like, Sydney and them, they're not real. And I said, no. She's like, okay. And the other thing, it was like, we're like, no, but I told her, I was like, there is a real serial killer. She's a weenie about all this, but she watched fucking almost every episode of CSI.
Right.
Or not CSI, NCIS. And I'm just like, okay, let's talk about this. So that's how I convince her to watch that. I'm like, it's like that, but like
fake.
Fake. She's like, okay.
I have no credibility with that child. My stamp of like, oh, it's fine, is a, to her, she's like, oh, I hate it now. We went to Disneyland a couple of years ago when she was, I think, 9.
Yes. Okay.
And every ride that like we wanted to try to take her on, because she was like, because the last time she had gone, she was too short to ride many of the rides. So now she was tall enough. And I'd be like, this isn't scary. It was everyone to her was a lie. She was like, that's too fast. That was too fast. I don't like it. And thank God my ex-husband was with us, because he's kind of a weenie with rides. So like, we'd be like, we're going to go on rides. And they're like, we're going to go get caught. Like, we're going to go eat food. And like, they had the best little mini vacation while we had a different mini vacation. So it was like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. I've never been to the Disney in California. You guys went to the California one, right?
Mm-hmm. I've never been to Disney World.
But you're a California native. So I mean.
Yeah, that makes sense. My in-laws are in California. And so they're constantly like, there's a Disney over here.
It's fun.
Bring the kids.
Yeah.
I know that Disney World is so much bigger. We looked this up. It's like 40 something acres. Whereas like.
It's huge.
Whereas like Disneyland is like less than a square mile.
Oh, dang. So you could do it in one day.
You can, but you won't be able to like enjoy it, especially like I would say like post pandemic. Before the pandemic, I used to go a lot. Well, one, because I was a single rider on a lot of rides, because I'd go by myself. I could do all of the Disney rides in like a day. I did see this thing today on TikTok. I don't know if I sent it. I may have sent it to Tara, but it is like, it's a temporary tattoo. It's for Walt. It's for Disney World, and it's for drinking around the world.
Oh my God, the Epcot one.
Yes. And so I was like, I saw that and I was like, this is so genius, because I would lose a piece of paper, but I'm not going to lose my arm.
Right.
You guys said you haven't been to Disney World, but I like one of the times that I went, my oldest was like 3 or 4 maybe. And I went with my mom and we started drinking around the world, and you can do a beer one or a wine one. I started doing the beer one, and then halfway through like picked up a wine one too. So by the time we circled back around, like my mom was pushing my kid, I didn't know where I was. It was rough. You gotta be so careful.
I love that.
No, I literally was just like, oh my God. And like, I've seen TikTok watching the cocktails that come out of these places. I'm like, I want that. I want that so much. I am glad like Disneyland is pretty dry. Yeah. I think the Blue Bayou just started serving alcohol. Like the only thing in Disneyland for the longest time that served, I think, was like Club 33, and then the Cantina in Star Wars opened. So Tara and I had those for like, oh, I don't know, like 9:30 in the morning.
Hell yeah. It was fine. Like,
when I talk to people about this and they're like, yeah, no, I'm so excited. I got my one of my coworkers is going, she's like, yeah, I already made my reservations at the Cantina. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, the only time available was like 9 a.m. And I was like, I would totally fucks with that. I'd be there.
Right. It's like, vacation. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But California Adventure has a lot. The last time I went there, last time I went to Disney, I didn't even really ride the rides that much. I literally just ate and drank my way around California Adventure.
That's why I like Epcot.
Yes. Amazing. Yeah, like all the good stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay, this was something like totally off topic that I wanted to bring up really quickly before we wrap up, because I thought it was like a good topic to bring up. So we talked to somebody else earlier in this little bout of interviews we're doing about ethical true crime reporting. Everybody knows like this is something that's a huge, huge problem, but TikTok especially. So as a fellow ethical, I know you're kind of scooting away from that, but as a, I would say a fellow ethical true crime advocate, for anyone that might be like wondering, either as trying to be a creator or as a consumer, like what is kind of like some basic stuff you tell people like, hey, look out for when they're looking for like ethical content either to consume or they want to start making it type of thing?
I always think like the best approach to this question is if you, God forbid, were in a situation where like your child or your mother got murdered, how would you want people to talk about it? So like YouTube, we'll pick on YouTube. Like, one of the things, there's a couple things that like drive me nuts about some true crime content. Like I'm personally not a big fan of the thumbnails and the selfies. I'm not a huge fan, especially if it's like overlaid with like murder victims and like fake blood spatter.
Crime scene photos. Like, yes. I'm like, are you fucking for real?
Damn,
like, what are you doing?
There's a like recent trend. I've been seeing it happen a lot where creators are putting crime scene photos on their Patreons and then being like, come see these really blurry photos for $3. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I get the ick with that too. And for us, we've changed the type of content we do on Patreon because we would do like random cases that, you know, maybe weren't like big enough for an episode, things like that or whatever.
Yeah.
But like once we started like thinking about it and, you know, seeing people do, obviously what we're like, you know, I don't know. I don't really think that was problematic of us to do that, but like, you know, seeing actual like problematic shit, it just made us kind of like reflect on everything as a whole, you know? So we stopped really like, maybe I don't even know how long it's been since we've actually done a case on Patreon, and no shade to anyone who does, like, please do whatever, like, you know, you feel best. But just for us, we were like, you know what? Like, we realize what we're doing is like harmless, but at the same time, like, we don't make true crime content, you know, for a money grab or anything. We do it to like share these stories and to get these people a voice. So that's where we shifted with that. And it's nice because I feel like slowly but surely that train of thought has bled into the true crime community, but you still have those people that they're like, well, this is what I've always done and it's what's worked, so I don't give a shit. And it's like, that's really shitty of you. Like, I don't know how else to say that.
I was fine with it. And I felt like because I was making ethical true crime, like it was good. Yeah. I always had families involved, blah, 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 blah. But then I started noticing that like, doing this, I'm sure you guys also come in contact with a ton of victims' family members or people reaching out to you, sending you emails, asking you to cover their cases, things like that. So I became like mutuals with a bunch of them, and they post all the time about how people like take advantage of their situation or spread false information. And I've gotten caught now in, there was a pretty big thing on TikTok where I thought, because I was doing it with a family permission, that I was doing the right thing. And it was with a victim's sister. I got all my facts, like did everything. I always double check scripts before I post them, because in my mind, like that makes it good. Well, then another family member posted on TikTok and was like, everything that that girl posted is a lie. And so people were coming to me and being like, you're not ethical. I can't believe you say you're ethical and then you treat victims' families like this. And it's just made me kind of be like, I don't even know if I'm helping.
Right.
Yeah. And like, we were doing the podcast. Justice and I had a true crime podcast before. And I would get like so anxious doing the research about maybe like pronouncing something wrong or getting a date wrong.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's so like, we talk about this sometimes on the podcast of like how it can mentally drain you to do this. And it's like, it's almost like you have to go at it with like, people need to understand your intention. People need to understand, like, I'm not out here to like make a quick buck and capitalize on someone's death. That's not why we're doing this. There is a market for people learning about cases. I know it's like weird. This is like the weird phenomenon that comes with true crime, is that people feel safer knowing about crimes that have happened because it puts them, like, it gives them an opportunity to like adjust their lifestyle to be safer. And you know, when we first started, it would be like you'd read things and you'd say things, and I mean, there's been, I think in our like 5 years, there's been a couple of times where we've had to go back and be like, hey, we read this and this information wasn't true, we're sorry. Like, you just kind of have to be like, your intention has to be good and accountable. And I think the first step is a lot of people choose to get defensive right away. I remember one of the first things that like happened with us, I was reading, and I feel victim to the getting defensive. I was reading a quote from something that instead of using the word indigenous, use the previous term. Yeah. And I was quoting, and I thought to myself, this is okay because I'm quoting this. And someone from the indigenous community reached out to us and was like, hey, that's still not okay. Like, you know, the word is bad. You need to change it, like, as you read it. And my first reaction, Tara remembers that, I probably remember this, I got real fucking pissed. I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Like, I was quoting. And then I was like, wait a second. One, this is not my journey to be angry with. This is their community. This is their culture. And I need to respect it. And then having this dialogue with this person being like, I am so sorry. Like, I was quoting it. I thought it was okay. I will, you know, we have, like, just in that kind of context, anytime we come across that word, we automatically change it to indigenous or Native American or whatever flows best in that moment, even if it's quoted. And it was actually kind of cool because this person and I, like, started emailing, and she works with my, like, dad's second cousin, or worked. He's since passed away. But, like, it was like this really weird kind of, like, it was a cool moment to learn from. And I think that's what content creators have to do. They have to learn from a mistake. People should be allowed to make mistakes. What you can't do is not learn from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I agree. I think it's hard, like, some of the people that aren't maybe, like, the most ethical, it's hard because a lot of them have, in, like, the most delicate way of saying it, like, they have large fan bases that will support them no matter what they do. It's hard.
It is. It, you know, and unfortunately, like, at the end of the day, these larger creators, you know, when they do stuff like this, they just kind of get the sense of being untouchable. Like, think about, like, Sword and Scale. That guy's a fucking bag of trash. I mean, people are definitely agreeing and saying he is as well. So maybe he's not the best example. But you know what I mean? It's crazy to me because I only bring him up and that up because I saw a post, like, recently, and someone was like, I listened to, like, this most recent episode on whatever the fuck the case was. And people were, like, coming after her being like, how are you supporting this? You know, and, like, explaining and stuff. But there was people that are, like, still hardcore stands of this show and are fucking, like, attacking these other people. And it's just like, it's like, I don't like that. It sucks. It shouldn't be that way because these, like, in a perfect world, you know, these people that have this reach and this voice, they should be doing good. And unfortunately, not all of them are. There are ones that definitely are, but, like,
there are.
There's some that are not.
I do think you're right too, though. Like, I do think that it's becoming more common for people to, like, really think about their ethics. And there are a couple of big podcasts that maybe did some not great things in the past that are trying to change it now and are, like, donating lots of money and things like that. Like, I think we're slowly turning the right direction.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's, like, that's honestly when anybody of any size makes those kind of mistakes, it is more about, like, how they are going forward. If someone's going to move forward and they're going to be like, fuck, I fucked up, own their shit, what have you, and, you know, change going on, then that's a totally different story, you know, because you love to see people grow. Okay, so to kind of wrap things up, we're asking, we're asking everybody this random ass question that stemmed from Jess and I. We did a Q&A recently on Patreon, and we're like, we're keeping this for everybody. So we're asking everybody, if you were to be dropped off at a deserted island, what would you bring with you? There's no limit. You can bring whatever you want, anybody you want, all that shit. No limitations.
Except there is one. You cannot bring a boat or any.
You cannot have some kind of transportation to leave.
Yeah.
If you, and if you have a boat, it has to be, like, totally broke down and can't move.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I would want a broke down boat. I'm bringing Jacob, my partner, because he could probably fix the boat.
There you go.
Hopefully. I'm probably not going to bring my kids because it sounds like maybe a good break.
It's a vacation.
That's
I love that for you. You're like, my kids are safe back at home. They're fine.
I'd probably bring some kind of a book. If I'm stuck on a deserted island, maybe, like, some knit cutter, like, something to set the mood. and food, probably. Yeah. And food. Music, I would want my phone. It'd probably die pretty quick, though, which is...
We've heard a lot of the solar power banks.
Yeah.
People bring that. They're like, I could do that, and then I'll just bring my Kindle. And
people are way smarter than me. That's such a good idea. Not,
like, people said that. Really, that's genius. One of our guests was like, I'm going to bring a cruise ship that's just can't go anywhere. But it's going to be fully stocked. It has everything stocked. You need.
Yeah,
like, that's fucking
cute. And live on it.
You don't even have to leave then. That's fine. Stay.
You're like, right? This is my home now. But I literally thought about it like last week at work. I was like, that food is going to spoil. I hope you brought a lot of canned goods.
It would be fun for a couple days, though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I love that. People have all these creative ideas. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'd put him to work. I'm going to you fix it.
No, that actually sounds great. You're like, I'm going to just make myself a little sand chair and you will fix the boat and I'm going to read. We're getting alone time and together time. All the same trip.
You just let me know when it's done. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So where can everybody find you? And do you have anything coming up you wanted to share with us?
You can find me at Criminology and Coffee on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and everywhere. And that's all I'm working on right now, other than my theme park thing I have going on TikTok for some reason.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So great. You guys definitely know. Check it out.
It that's took good. Off. I don't know what's going on. But
it's great.
Yeah, that's where I am everywhere.
Cool.
So with that, we are going to end the episode. I hope you all enjoyed listening. Thank you, Rebecca, for joining us today. It was great to have you. And definitely check out all of her things going on. And we will see you back here on Monday for another episode. Toodles.
Bye.
Bye, friends.